The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at tntradio.live. Interviews, news, and views. You're listening to State of the Nation with Timothy Shea and Brian McClain on today's News Talk, TNT.
Hello and welcome to State of the Nation. I'm Brian McClain, broadcasting live out of Central Texas. I'm here with Timothy Shea out of New York, and we are State of the Nation on today's News Talk. Timothy, it's great to see you. Welcome to the show.
Great to be with you again, Hash. It's a wonderful day here in upstate New York. Beautiful weather outside. I'm sure it's gorgeous down there in Texas, but more importantly, we've got a lot of news today.
Yes, indeed. And yes, indeed, it is a beautiful day out here in Texas. All right. First one up, Timothy, I had to throw this out. You know, on X.com, sometimes those community notes come in major handy. The FBI got a community note for lying about FISA searches. So the FBI X'd out. Director Ray highlighted the Bureau's compliance with Section 702 during a hearing at the U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. Well, community notes came in and added this little piece of context. The FBI violated American citizens' Fourth Amendment rights 278,000 times with illegal, unauthorized FISA 702 searches.
Brian, come on, that's de minimis. There's 350 legal Americans here and another 20 or 30 or maybe more illegals. What's what's a quarter million plus another 27,000? I mean, come on. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah, these people swore an oath to the Constitution, Brian.
Well, apparently they aren't fulfilling it, so we got that going on. Quickly, the Moscow terrorist attack death toll is now at 140 as one more victim succumbed to injuries. Over 80 remain hospitalized, with the health minister stating that doctors are fighting hard for those in extremely grave condition. So there are a number of people that may not make it yet. And they've got numerous suspects arrested, including four accused of carrying out the attack.
Brian, we saw Hunter Tucker going over there and showing us the beautiful subways, the low cost of goods at the supermarkets. And you wonder why? Those four suspects showed up. One of them was still unconscious. The others were beaten black and blue. Meanwhile, over here, we are arresting people whose homes have been broken into and squatters are residing there. We don't arrest the squatters, we arrest the homeowners. And you wonder why our subways have to be guarded by the National Guard and are filthy and filled with rats.
Yeah, yeah. I also wonder why that National Guard unit is not stopping the crime. I still keep seeing crime. Saw someone got pushed in front of the tracks again today. And illegal migrants are now spit-firing and eating some of those subway rats on the streets. So that's neat.
Well, they're not only spit roasting and eating the rats, but they're eating limbs. One woman had her leg cut off in an accident, and some homeless guy just picks up her leg and starts to eat it. I mean, it's getting crazy out there. This is like the zombie apocalypse, Brian.
Yeah, yeah, it's no longer just Florida man eating ears. Okay, let's see here. Oh, an appeals court stops Texas migrant deportation law. Federal appeal court halted Texas's law authorizing the arrest and deportation of migrants pending a legal review. So that one's, you know, bouncing back and forth, and here we are, not allowed to do it again.
Upon further review, Texas, you go right ahead. This is ridiculous. We need a final decision to come down on this case.
Yes, yes, absolutely. What happened to states' rights? We shall see. We also have some breaking news, Timothy. Former Senator Joe Lieberman has passed away at the age of 82 from complications after a fall. Very sorry to hear that. He served 10 years in Connecticut's state Senate from 71 to 81. State's attorney general from 83 to 89, and began serving in the U.S. Senate in 1989 when I was a freshman in high school, until his retirement in 2013, right around the time I started broadcasting.
I disagreed with Senator Lieberman on just about everything in the political realm, but he was a very decent man. In fact, I dubbed him the last decent Democrat, and his passing is a loss. I hope that his memory may be a blessing for those who loved him.
Yes, yes. You know, some I didn't always agree with him either when I started looking back at his track record. But hey, you know, we have a serious lack of statesmanship on Capitol Hill right now. And we're going to look back at people like him someday and go, man, Maybe that's today. Man, I miss those guys that could actually speak and were not looking to just divide via racial division or divide via, you know, all the things that we see right now, the everythings.
Like from my senior senator up Chuck Schumer.
There you go. Yeah, great example. I think he just made $1 million on Wall Street. How did he do
that? Imagine that.
Yeah, I don't know. all right, and we're going to be talking about this this bridge collapse a little bit more today. We've got more information. We've been collecting more information. We've got a special guest coming in to discuss it with us. So we will get to that. But first, let me remind you, don't miss out on a thing. Be sure and download the TNT app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily watch or listen live to us anywhere, anytime. That app is available to download, and it will keep you up to speed on today's News Talk TNT.
Going 360 on the headlines.
It's really well-balanced conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. Well, we're hearing a lot about the biblical nature of our times, aren't we? And oftentimes, it seems as though biblical events seem to be popping up in the headlines. So we're pretty excited to have Troy Anderson back on the program with us. Troy is a Pulitzer Prize nominated investigative journalist and number one best-selling Faith Words author of The Babylon Code and Trumpocalypse. Hey, Troy, it's great to see you. Welcome to State of the Nation. How are you doing?
Hey, Brian, it's great to see you again. Great to be on here.
Yeah, well, Timothy and I are very happy you're able to join us. I'm going to just kick this over to you because you're the expert here. I can look at any event practically right now. Like, for example, all the scuttlebutt about Black Swan events coming up. We've got Easter coming up. The FBI's putting out terror, you know, bump warnings. I don't know. I guess we're code red right now. But what are you seeing when it comes to sort of, you know, revelatory times of revelation as it pertains to our headlines?
Well, yeah. So I've written this new book called Revelation 9/11, and in that we explore: are we moving into these end time events that the Bible talks about? And, you know, I've been investigating this for about a dozen years. And so the most interesting thing we have coming up is this eclipse on April 8th that's going to move from essentially Texas all the way up to Maine, travels through a whole bunch of cities called Nineveh. If you compare it to the 2017 eclipse, forms this gigantic X in the middle of America. Of course, that 2017 eclipse went through a bunch of towns called Salem, or the ancient name for Jerusalem. And so there's all kinds of sort of prophetic meanings embedded in this eclipse. And if you take that eclipse, the 2017, the 2024, the one last year, the annular eclipse, it forms the Paleo-Hebrew letters Aleph and Tav, or Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the name of Jesus in the last chapter of Revelation. And to top it off, that the devil's comet is going to be flying by as everybody's, millions of people are out there watching this eclipse. So there are a lot of questions about this eclipse coming up on April 8th.
I have seen a lot of things on social media that, you know, I saw one post I debunked immediately. They said there are eight towns named Nineveh that it's going through. And they're like, well, there's not, because Nineveh, New York is southwest of me, and I'm not in the path. Nineveh, New York is not in the path either. I think sometimes we have to be careful about people trying to force a square peg into a round hole. Certainly, Revelation tells us what is going to come, but I think we can wander into some danger areas doing eschatological prognostications.
Yeah, there's actually only two towns in the totality named Nineveh. The rest are outside the totality. So it does go through two directly. And people in these Ninevehs, some are unincorporated, some are small towns, you know, are within, you know, a few hundred miles of the actual totality of the eclipse.
Mm-hmm. And I'm here in the path of it. I'm in Texas, right where right in the thick of it. They're actually declaring a state of emergency in a couple of counties here, neighboring counties and my own. And they're saying that there's going to be so many visitors and spectators here that it's going to double, it's going to temporarily double the population of my county. What do you think of, what are you tracking as far as that goes? Is there a lot of interest in this? I mean, it seems, and how long has it been since we had one like this?
Yeah, so it's you know, eclipses are fairly common, but these total solar eclipses that have actually moved across America are very rare. It's only been I think like you know 8 times or something like that since the founding of the country, and so there are all these government agencies are issuing warnings about you know millions of people are going to be out there you know watching this eclipse. People are traveling to the path of the eclipse, and so they're issuing warnings about stocking up on food and water and that kind of thing. And so last weekend, Ron Paul was on a show, and so was Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, and they were speculating could there be a black swan event that occurs during this you know on the eclipse or prior to the 2024 presidential election, you know presumably something that might be able to stop the election from going forward. You know we've seen this all out attack on President Trump the last few years, so that was in the news this last few days.
That's actually my concern, is that some nefarious entities are going to perhaps use this eclipse as an opportunity to engage in some skullduggery. It'll have nothing to do with the eclipse, but they'll use that as a distraction to do something that won't be good for America or for humanity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with our porous borders, you know, all kinds of people coming into the country, yeah. We don't really know what we have. I mean, anything can happen here. Could we have a terrorist attack? You know, could there be some kind of a, you know, power grid, you know, situation? You know, there's all anything's possible. And so with millions of people out there, you know, it could be a potentially dangerous situation. So many of these, you know, government agencies have actually been preparing for this for a couple of years now.
You know, this may sound a little out of left field, but we've been kind of trying to look at this whole thing with Kate over in the UK, right? Where's Kate? And while I was down that rabbit hole, you seemed like the right person to ask this. I'm sorry to just kind of pull it out of left field. But while I was down this rabbit hole, I saw a picture of Kate from when she was introducing one of her babies to the world. And she was wearing the exact same dress that the female character in Roman Polanski's Rosemary's Baby was wearing. I mean, it was the spitting image of the dress. And for anyone that may not remember the plot of that movie, that woman was impregnated by a satanic cult leader and brought about the birth of the Antichrist. what do you think about that little tabloid fact? And is there any, what do you think about the concept of an Antichrist? Is that something that you're tracking, and how would you explain that to someone?
Yeah, I didn't hear about the dress thing, but I am familiar with the you know of course Rosemary's Baby and that the plot of that movie. I mean this has been part of our research. You know, I've written 6 books on this topic of Bible prophecy. You know, are we moving into these end time events? You know, of course the book of Revelation talks about this figure, the Antichrist, and the idea is the Apostle John talked about this. You know, diabolical dictator that would implement, along with the false prophet, a mark of the beast system in which you can't buy or sell. And today, you know, with artificial intelligence, electronic banking, you know, the surveillance state, microchip implants, you could actually have this mark of the beast system for the first time in history. And governments across the world are pushing for these digital currencies. So could we be heading some kind of system like this, where potentially you could have this Antichrist figure, you know, somehow gain control of the economic abilities of people around the world and you know, control the planet. And that's what the Apostle John warned of 2,000 years ago.
Got any names for us? You got any speculation? Is he out there right now?
Well, you know, there's many prophecy experts believe he probably is alive today. And the you know Revelation 13 talks about the image of the beast and different things like that you know may hint at artificial intelligence. So could this Antichrist figure be you know combined with artificial intelligence? Could it be a transhumanist? You know, somebody that's a part man, part machine, you know, hooked into the cloud, that kind of thing. So there's who he is, and the you know the Bible indicates we won't know who he is until. You know, essentially, he will form a peace treaty with Israel, and that'll you know kick off the beginning of the 7-year tribulation.
Yeah, the good news is that there's going to be 3.5 years of global peace ahead of the 3.5 years of the tribulation, and we're a long way from that. One of the things I've always found interesting since the rise of the internet and cell phones is how Revelation talks about everyone in the world will see Jesus coming through the clouds. And how would that be possible when half the world will be on the other side of the world and unable to see those same clouds? But with modern technology, everybody in the world could see him coming, couldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's like another case where first time in history, almost everybody's got a smartphone, so you could actually watch, you could witness the coming of Christ. There's also the verses about the two witnesses prophesying in Israel, and the whole world will see them slain, you know. And so if, you know, modern technologies, you know, cell phones, internet, all the stuff we have today, you can, you know, people around the world can see these things happen.
Yeah, yeah. We're just about out of time here, but in our final minute or so, I noticed the mommy blogger sphere is very interested in this. I've seen some mommy bloggers out talking about 3 days of darkness and, you know, getting food, prepping, doing prep sort of things. What are you hearing in the prep world, and what do you think about this whole 3 days of darkness? Are we there yet, or do we have a little more time?
Yeah, the 3 days of darkness is a prophecy in the book of Revelation, and occurred during the tribulation. That this eclipse was only going to last for 4 minutes. And so this is not the 3 days of darkness. But, it, you know, just like any kind of situation, it's good to be prudent and to prepare, you know, get ready in case there is some kind of emergency that occurs during this time.
Hey, always helps to be prepared for a natural disaster, or who knows, maybe a biblical event. All right. Let us know where people can find your book. Obviously, Revelation 9:11, how the book of Revelation intersects with today's headlines. Did I get the title right there, Troy?
The book just came out yesterday. It's a number one bestseller. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, you know, Walmart, Books A Million. And also, we have a newsletter called RevelationWatchers.com. You can sign up for that for free.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Troy Anderson, for joining us. It's a very interesting time. It's a very interesting conversation, and appreciate your subject matter expertise in this area. We'll have you back on again real soon to discuss. Maybe we'll do a post-mortem solar eclipse with you if we're still here. All right. Troy Anderson, thanks again. This is State of the Nation on today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's Mark Morano.
And there's a whole history of this idea that the establishment, the powers that be, the regime in power, likes the idea of a little eco-terrorism to keep the population hungry. I mean, if you think about it, their policies, government policies of the Great Reset, Net Zero, climate agenda, are quite literally eco-terrorism, or a form of terrorism. It's, as Jesse Jackson used to say, it's economic violence, it's economic terrorism. Jesse Jackson used to say that about the Reagan administration. But in this case, it's the intentional collapse of energy, food, transportation, free speech, all to achieve and make us safer and give them more power under the auspices, if you will, of a crisis.
Mark Morano on today's News Talk, TNT.
I was such a young age. Everything changed. My name is Chloe. When I was 13, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. When I found out, I just didn't know how to react. I felt like everything was just kind of closing in on me. It just became a routine. Dad's doing chemo. I'd come home from school, wait for mum to finish work, and we'll go straight to the hospital, spend a few hours there, just draw. It was hard to navigate going to school. Hundreds of kids, and I was the only one with a dying dad. He was diagnosed in March, and then he died in October. Towards the end, I heard about Canteen. It kind of felt nice to know that they had other people like me. They understood what I was going through, and we didn't even have to chat about cancer. In 2020, I became a youth ambassador, so I can help others the way they helped me. I've done so many things since I was 13. I've graduated high school, university, gotten my license, made a move across the country. Life now is just a whole lot more fun. Please give a gift today to support more young people like me experiencing cancer.
Unbiased information.
Honest and forthright.
News without the misinformation.
It doesn't matter what side you're from. What matters is what you say, the truthfulness behind it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Between the Biden-sponsored invasion at our southern border to yesterday's attack on the Port of Baltimore, our country is under attack like at no time since 9/11. Joining us now to discuss this dire situation for America is Charles Marino, the CEO of Sentinel Security Solutions, who is a former DHS advisor and the author of Terrorists on the Border and in Our Country. Welcome to State of the Nation. Welcome back to State of the Nation.
Good to be back. Marino. Yeah, I was going to say, good to be back.
Yeah, good to see you. So,
Charles, have I overstated this? We are under attack, and it's unlike anything we've seen since 9/11.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Americans are certainly on edge, and that's because they know what's been allowed to go on the past 3.5 years with our southern border, with where we've got millions of unvetted illegal migrants coming across into the country. We have no idea what their backgrounds are, what their purpose is for being in the country. And Americans know this, and they've been paying attention to it very closely. And that's why it's not now the top election issue for the 2024 election. So when something like what happens in Baltimore takes place, the first question that Americans are going to ask is this terrorism? And the fact that we are so quickly asking that question anytime something happens in this country means that we're in a pretty poor state of security and that the American public don't have much confidence in what's going on or in this administration for doing the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Charles, I feel like every time you've been on State of the Nation in the last, I don't know how many months, we've been wondering and waiting, when is it going to happen? I mean, well before it started becoming a little bit more of a hashtaggy term, I think, you know, on social media. But we've got big names out there using the black swan terminology, and here it is. I mean, no one seems to be believing that this was an accident over there in Maryland. And I don't know. The more I look at it, the harder it is. I'm doing my best to you know, have some forbearance in making a decision or a statement, you know, for myself. But the more I look at it, Charles, the harder it is to say, yeah, this is all just coincidence.
Well, I think that's the right approach. I think it was well said. And what I can tell you is we've got a number of federal agencies involved here. And one will stand out to you, and that's the FBI. They will be involved in this investigation throughout the duration. And the FBI is the one that gives the yay or the nay with respect to terrorism. Is there a relationship to what took place to terrorist groups or organizations, and were they planned to do this? So you're going to have the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB, you're going to have the Coast Guard, like I said, the FBI, and then you're going to have a whole host of state and local agencies to participate in the investigation. But the Bureau will stay throughout, and they will be paying attention to exactly what caused this ship to lose power the way that it did.
In this accident, quote unquote, just highlights how vulnerable we are. One writer yesterday said, if you can stay away from the teeth of the United States military, we're profoundly vulnerable. We've got ports in Boston, New York, Baltimore. This was the ninth largest port in the United States. And shutting it down is going to critically impact our supply chains. 80% of our automobiles came through the port of Baltimore.
Yeah, it shows you how easy the country can be spinned into turmoil. And, you know, we have 16 different sectors that are deemed critical infrastructure sectors, right? You've got energy, you know, our water supplies, our electricity grids, you know, all of this needs to be protected. And it's quite vulnerable right now. And this administration, by allowing, you know, 180 different countries to make their way to our southwest border, many of those countries are what we call special interest locations, where we know that terrorist activity is taking place. Terrorist organizations are based there, are making their way into the country. So, you know, I always say, and I've mentioned this before on this show, is that, look, forget the, you know, the image of the next war or attack taking place with missiles flying over the Pacific and the Atlantic. This is going to be started very likely from within the country. That's where the first strike will take place. And what will that look like? Well, it'll likely look like an attack on our critical infrastructure across the board. Look at what one bridge is causing here. Yeah, we've got some redundancies in terms of tunnels, but look at what this is going to do to the port. Look at how this is going to impact our economic security, let alone our physical security.
Yeah, and that port is used to bring in a lot of hazmat. A lot of hazardous materials come in through there, a lot of oversized shipping containers, overloaded ships, because it was built to handle that. And those tunnels that are available, you can't take a lot of these things through there without special permits. So, I mean, this is going to cause a huge supply chain issue. I was listening to a couple of our colleagues talk about that on the Jason Verma show after State of the Nation yesterday. And, you know, the more I look into it, I'm seeing all kinds of stuff. Like, for example, Baltimore is a strategic location in the United States with proximity to the Chesapeake Bay and the Atlantic Ocean. Mm-hmm. So it's a key maritime hub, and it facilitates efficient movement of goods between the interior of the U.S. and international markets. So global trade and national trade right there look like they're going to suffer, as just one example.
It's such a key port.
Yeah, and that's going to be spread all along the East Coast. And like you said, that bridge was specifically designed to allow the transport of hazardous materials. So now what's going to happen? Are we going to shift that risk to the harbor tunnel there?
And you can't and do it to the tunnel. It's got to go around the beltway. Yeah. Because
there you go.
You need,
right.
As Brian said, you need the special permits and you got to do it at 2 a.m. and they just can't handle the volume.
Yeah.
And Baltimore is such a critical port to the United States and always has been that is the reason why President Lincoln would not let Maryland secede. He literally imprisoned the legislature of Maryland before the Civil War so that Maryland could not secede because he needed that port of Baltimore. We've got more after these incoming headlines right here on today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT Radio News.
I've got news for you, baby. I've got news for you, baby.
News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. NBC has decided to terminate its relationship with Ronna McDaniel as an NBC News contributor, a move made in response to staff backlash and concerns over newsroom cohesion. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's government faced setbacks as Skills Minister Robert Halfin and Armed Forces Minister James Heapy announced their resignations. Australia was defeated in a trade dispute with China at the World Trade Organization concerning anti-dumping measures Australia had applied to Chinese steel products.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Charles, one of my cousins was married to a man who served in the Coast Guard. He eventually rose to the rank of Vice Commandant of the Coast Guard and retired when President Bush asked him to head up the first pipeline security office for the Department of Homeland Security after 9/11. So I was very aware with how vulnerable our pipelines were and remain. This could be a critical area. You don't need to take out our refining capability or even the ports in Louisiana. If you hit the right pipelines, all of a sudden, we are a nation without energy.
Well, we're a nation without energy, potentially, depending on what you want to hit, especially when it comes to underwater cables. We could be a nation without communication. Look, there's a lot of ways in which we can be hit, and we need to be able to walk and chew gum. What the Biden administration should not be doing under any circumstances is undercutting the national security efforts of the agencies that were created and put in place to strengthen our national security. And that's what they're doing right now. And that's what they've been doing. They're creating policies after policies that undercut the efforts of the FBI, the DEA, you name it, the list goes on. And no administration in history has walked away from securing the homeland in the way that they are by ignoring the security at our borders. That's where our homeland security starts. And they're throwing away not only our security, but the sovereignty of the country. And they're really opening us up. We brought up the risk of terrorism. Look, our country is infiltrated. We are seeing over a 1,000% increase in Chinese nationals being let into this country illegally. They get issued notices to appear from 7 to 10 years from now. Nobody's going to show up here. We have no idea why they're in the country. China is our number one adversary, according to the very national security strategy of this administration. So what are we doing here?
Well, those are just the illegals. Brian, go ahead.
No, I'm just echoing the question. What are we doing here? You know, this seems to just be a slap in the face, not only to every American, but to people like you who have worked inside of this system and, you know, spent careers doing everything that you can to make this, you know, to make something like 9/11 never happen again. But here we are, and it looks like, I mean, if this was an attack, I expect that we'll see a sister attack, something else to go with it in following up. California has the only port that is larger than this one. This was the second most active and largest port. So now my eyes on California and wondering if we're going to see some, you know, coincidental accident there. And then the lovely folks at FBI and CIA and all of their media puppets come out and say, oh, sorry, nothing to see here. This is definitely not a terrorist act. I mean, what is wrong with these people? It's like this attack happens in Russia and it's like, oh, that was definitely ISIS. And oh, we knew a couple days ahead of time, so we put this warning out. And now it's like this happens and within hours it's like, oh, it's definitely not terrorism, but we're going to hire a new anti-terrorism, you know, terrorist task force leader in New York and Baltimore and put them in like, the same day or the next day. I mean, the messaging is frustrating.
Well, you know, you brought up ISIS. Look, what Russia showed us, ISIS-K, by the way, were the ones that carried out the attack in Russia and were also the ones that carried out the attack that killed 13 U.S. service members during the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. So we now know that ISIS remains in business. They can plan, they can coordinate, and they can carry through an attack. Yet this administration doesn't live in reality. If you hear the White House spokeswoman who has proven herself time after time to be one of the most incompetent people on the face of the earth, the words that leave her mouth should anger Americans. They don't recognize the increase in violence in the streets of U.S. cities. They don't recognize the risks that come from their decisions about immigration and border security. They believe they did the right thing and that it was a success withdrawing from Afghanistan. The list goes on. And what they need to recognize is that every policy program that they are involved with results in Americans being hurt and killed. This is a fact.
Well, it's because that's their objective, okay? They see these things as successes, not failures, because their intention is to have America taken down a peg, as 2004 presidential candidate and former Secretary of State John Kerry put it. So I referenced earlier the numbers of illegal Chinese that have come across that we were discussing. Those are just the illegal Chinese that are here. We've got 27,000 legal Chinese students on green cards at Ohio State University, all getting technical degrees, all members of the Chinese Red Army. We've got the University of North Dakota with the flight school up there filled with Chinese. I haven't heard back from Embry-Riddle to see what the status is down there, but we are literally educating our enemies, Charles.
No, that's right. And hasn't that always been the case? And look, I assure you that ICE, just like they're not being allowed to enforce the immigration laws down at the border, they're certainly not doing what's needed or being allowed to do what's needed in the interior of the U.S. when it comes to things like visa overstays. I mean, we have learned this lesson, right? We have seen when there isn't thorough vetting and follow-up investigation with people enrolling in flight schools that later show themselves to be terrorists and attack this country from within. And yet we allow the same scenario to play out again. I mean, we're creating the perfect storm here. There is no doubt that sometime in the future here, our country will be subjected to another terrorist attack, and it will be traced back to this crisis created by the administration.
Undoubtedly. And with regard to the Baltimore Bridge collapse, tell me it was terrorism without telling me it was terrorism, Joe. What did Biden immediately come out and say? Oh, the federal government will pay for the bridge. Well, why would he say that instead of saying, well, you know, we'll work with the corporations and the insurance companies, everything else? Because if it's terrorism, there's not going to be any payout by the insurance companies. So the administration knows that this was a terror attack.
Yeah, you know, look, one angle that certainly is going to be explored here is the cyber angle. And that is, look, 1:30 in the morning, you know, look, the damage was done. The bridge was taken down, but it was still 1:30 in the morning. If you could time an attack against a piece of critical infrastructure like that and have it be even more of a mass casualty event, you do that attack earlier in the day. But opportunity remains opportunity. And if this was in fact determined to be a cyber attack that hit this ship, now we're talking a different story here.
We absolutely are. We're going to have to leave it there. Yeah. We're going to have to leave that conversation and that different story for the next time you're here on State of the Nation. Can't wait for that conversation, Charles. You're listening to State of the Nation on today's News Talk, TNT.
She used to dance and dream of a better life, a brighter future, with nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn, to get an education, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, she dances for the world. Together, we give children in poverty a chance to set their sights high and achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to health care, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves.
Gracias. Gracias.
Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Hi. I'm your retirement fear. But don't be scared. You're still in pre-retirement.
Does that mean I have more time to plan?
Precisely. Here, this is pretirement.org.
Retirement savings options? Potential tax breaks?
Ooh.
This isn't scary. I'm doing it.
You got this.
Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan.
Interviews, news, and views. You're listening to State of the Nation with Timothy Shea and Brian McLean on today's News Talk, TNT.
Now I want to jump right in and ask our next guest what he thinks about this bridge collapse. All right. I'm biting my tongue to not say attack. Joe Flynn rejoins us now. Joe, thank you for rejoining us on the program here. You know, your brother made some comments about potential black swan events. And, you know, if one wanted to destroy a critical piece of America's infrastructure, that bridge is one of the top two that could be taken. What do you think? Coincidence? Waiting to see? Or are you over the coincidence theories at this point?
Well, I like to take, you know, instead of the 48-hour rule, in this case, maybe the 72-hour rule. I'm reading a lot about this right now. Apparently, there were a lot of electrical problems with that particular ship prior to it taking off in port. But I'm wondering why they came so quick. Why the information came out so quickly that the accident was an accident and not, you know, and without foul play. I think it's very suspect, and it's part of the problem that we've got right now is nobody really trusts the authorities anymore. Nobody trusts the FBI. Nobody trusts news sources. And certainly, you know, more than half the country probably doesn't trust the Biden administration. And so it's very difficult not to look at this and say, how in the heck could something this catastrophic happen so quickly? So, you know, I'm still waiting to kind of see how all the evidence unfolds, but there's a lot here that doesn't add up.
It sure doesn't, Joe. And Washington, D.C. is the city that has made failure a career path. But have we ever seen an administration, politics aside, whether you're Democrat, Republican, whether you're conservative or progressive, it doesn't matter. Have we ever seen an administration that it was so profoundly incompetent on everything it touches? Pete Buttigieg, every single transportation sector in this country has failed on his watch. We've got a spokes idiot in the White House that is the biggest failure, I think, in the history of the country. It's failure after failure after failure with this administration.
Yeah, it's really scary. It's really unnerving for most Americans to see this sort of unraveling of our infrastructure. It was a problem. It's been a problem for quite a long time, as we know. It's not just the Biden administration. I mean, infrastructure has been decaying in this country for years because our tax dollars are going to these ridiculous wars that we will never win, that spend all of our treasure and take the lives of our young people and the lives of the people in the countries that we are fighting. And our infrastructure is crumbling. And this thing with the Francis Scott Key Bridge is another great example, similar to what happened in East Palestine and other situations. But the response from the Biden administration is just so feckless. And Buttigieg is just such a horrific spokesperson and a horrific leader. He does never comes across as a hands-on guy that's going to get the job done. You know, he's talking about tunnels being built, you know, that are racist tunnels, or the size of them were racist because they were carrying Black and Puerto Rican kids. I mean, none of it has anything to do with the real problems, which is we have a crumbling infrastructure in our country because our government does not invest in our own country. Our government sends billions of dollars overseas to fight endless wars we can never win. And until we get a real strong handle on that, this kind of infrastructure crumbling is going to continue. And if not infrastructure crumbling, infrastructure vulnerability to potential terrorist attacks. And with a wide open southern border, I mean, we are super, super vulnerable right now.
Yeah. You know, I really can't blame anyone at this point that has already made up their mind, even if, you know, there's not enough solid evidence to do so at this point, because they've been messing with our supply chain for a long time. They spent years and years setting up our farmers and ranchers to be more and more vulnerable. Then they start telling us they want us to eat bugs. Then they give us this grand pandemic industrial complex and destroy all our rights and completely nuke our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And now it's like, okay, well, we've seen tens, hundreds of millions of farm animals burned in fires that we can't explain. Yeah. And this is another critical, maybe the most critical piece of our internal and export supply chain that we've seen have a coincidentally awful accident. And lucky for the federal government and those that want to, you know, control the population with, you know, supply chain problems, there's a lot of plausible deniability in an environment like you're describing where all of the infrastructure has been left to rot.
Well, on this particular accident is actually much more catastrophic than the media is letting out to be. Baltimore, I want to say, is the third or fourth largest landing port that we have in the United States. It's in the middle of the, you know, of the East Coast. It's a tricky port to enter because it's narrow. It's a narrow entryway, and it's always been, you know, very carefully navigated by tugboats and other things like that. That bridge going down is going to shut that port down for a minimum. They're saying a minimum of 4 or 5 months. It could be a year. And not only that, but the bridge itself, you know, has a lot of trucks going over. So that the trucks show up at the port to put the cargo on the trucks. this is going to be a massive supply chain problem at a critical juncture right now. And if they don't have a plan to fix this quickly, it is going to backfire dramatically economically, particularly on the East Coast. So, you know, the long-term impacts, there's a short-term impact, obviously, sad loss of life. We can't forget people that lost their lives in this tragic, horrific situation. But the long-term effects of the supply chain unraveling and the issues that's going to affect in terms of trucking and other issues that are going to happen up and down the coast, I just don't think that we really understand the short and long term negative effects that this is going to have on our economy.
Yeah, I don't either. And then there's the defense and security aspect also. Josh Walkos on X.com put a number of things out. One of them is this one: defense and security. The port's location and capabilities have major national security implications. Absolutely. It can serve as a mobilization point for military operations and logistics, supporting Department of Defense's needs in terms of transportation and supply chain management. So, boom, there you go again, and this time affecting national security and the military.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Baltimore is a massively strategic place. The NSA is right there in Fort Meade. You've got Washington, D.C., less than, 30 minutes south. You've got
Aberdeen Proving Ground right up the road. Aberdeen
Proving Ground at Pax River Base, Andrews Air Force Base. You've got a huge military contingent there that relies on Baltimore to get in and out of there. I mean, we are extremely vulnerable right now with that bridge being down in that port. Nothing can get in or out of that port. I mean, can you imagine if we had an attack or something like that? We wouldn't be able to get any supply ships into that area, period. And it would be catastrophic. So thank God willing, nothing seriously dramatic happens from a national security standpoint over the next, 5 to 6 months as they try to figure out how to fix this. I mean, this is a serious, serious problem that is not being, the implications of the seriousness of the problem in terms of national security is not being discussed in the media. Once again, they want to put it under the rug because they don't want to make the Biden administration look like the weak and feckless, individuals that they are.
Yeah, exactly. And they are looking that way. There's a lot of condemnation, a lot of questions. I scrolled through, I did the doom scroll through X and a couple other applications this morning, and I haven't seen any support for the government statements. I don't see anyone saying, oh, look how wonderful Pete Buttigieg and, Joe Biden are doing. You know, people are asking, why are taxpayers expected to pay for this?
And it's interesting, the media is not making this a front and center issue right now. They'd rather focus on the crazy nonsense that's going on in the courts against Trump than focus on one of the biggest, catastrophic accidents or incidents that have taken place in the United States in the last 10 years. This is a serious problem. And they're not really.
Well, Joe, why would you want to talk about something that reflects poorly on the Biden administration when you can talk about what an evil, horrible person Ronna McDaniel is? Come on.
Exactly. I mean, they can't even have a rhino to debate with. They have, like the ultimate rhino and Ronna McDaniel. I mean, that offends them so much that they have a massive meltdown. It's unbelievable. But no, this situation in Baltimore is not going away. They're going to try to make it go away in the short term. Next week, you won't be hearing about it whatsoever. It's a massive, massive problem. And I think the ramifications of it are going to be really, really serious.
Yeah. Well, what about the energy and power resources factor? Timothy and I were just talking about how much hazardous material, AKA in many times, industrial materials that make our nation move, go in and out of that port.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the port is, Baltimore is a gigantic port. Like I mentioned earlier, it's very difficult to navigate. It's very narrow. It's old. The infrastructure is old, probably crummy. Let's not forget about what a disaster the city of Baltimore itself is. I spent a lot of time in my business career. At one point, Johns Hopkins was one of my biggest clients. I was in the hospital service business. I did a lot of work in Baltimore, and I watched Baltimore fall apart over a series of years. Now the city of Baltimore has a police force that's been cut in half. They can't recruit police officers. The crime rates in Baltimore are off the charts. The schools are a disaster. The entire city is literally falling apart. And this is just a massive blow, because a lot of the people that live in the city of Baltimore depend on the commerce that goes in and out of that port. And they're going to be affected by that. I wouldn't be surprised if lots of people lose their jobs. And the situation in Baltimore, the city itself, continues to unravel, and crime rates go through the roof with their inability to police that beautiful city, that once beautiful city.
Well, just the commuting situation is going to be a nightmare for years to come. And it's not just the federal government that is leaving people wanting something better. The mayor of Baltimore and the governor of Maryland both disgraced their offices and themselves personally yesterday with weak, to use your word, feckless. In the governor's case, arrogant. He had that patented Obama Mussolini chin tilt. People are looking at this situation. It's like, oh my gosh, we are in trouble, both federally, state, and locally.
Yeah, it's incredible that they have the hubris that they're not out there every day. Those two people, the governor and the mayor, should have a massive task force working 24/7 to try and rectify that situation as soon as possible. And they should be screaming at the top of their lungs for assistance from the federal government. And instead, they're going to do whatever they can, because they're partisan hacks. They're going to do whatever they can to cover up for the Biden administration's terrible leadership as it relates to the infrastructure disaster that's unfolding in this country.
Yeah, it's just amazing to so many Americans that the first things they hear are, don't worry about it. It wasn't an attack, and we're going to pay for it. I mean, it's like a kid, you know, getting caught with his hand in the cookie jar or something and saying, no, I didn't eat any cookies. You know, it wasn't me. It's really. Yeah, it wasn't me. Who me? Couldn't be. No, federal government. Yeah. No.
No, Mikey told me to get the cookie, Ma.
Yeah. It came out too quickly with this, you know, it wasn't a terrorist attack. We don't know if there were bad actors in this. And you know what? The sad part about this is we may never know, because if people that are in charge of that investigation want to cover it up, they'll cover it up. And let's face it, we're at a juncture in our history where nobody trusts the federal government.
This happened at a time when Joe Biden's in big trouble on his left flank with Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s vice presidential pick. I know you're a big politics guy. What do you make of the pick, and how do you think this impacts the race in November?
Well, I was, as you guys know, up until a couple of days ago, a very big supporter of Bobby Kennedy. I have pulled my support based on his choice. I think Bobby, this is my personal opinion, is Bobby has shot his campaign in the foot. Maybe shot it in the head at this point. I think he was attracting a lot of center-right people like myself. I think he's now decided to pick somebody who has a very leftist background. Maybe she's had some, you know, maybe she's come to the light on a couple of issues, a couple of key issues. But the reality is that she's been a big Democratic donor. I think it was a really bad choice for Bobby. However, that being said, I think it's going to help the Trump campaign enormously, because Bobby was becoming a massive threat to both the parties. But I think with this choice with Shanahan, he's going to lose 90% of any of the conservative leaning people that were thinking about thinking about voting for him. But he's going to keep a strong, hardcore progressive leftist. Maybe 5-10%, and that could sink the Biden campaign very quickly. So good for the Trump campaign, very bad for Bobby Kennedy, and quite frankly, I think it's bad for America, because I think this country needs a strong third party candidate that provides an alternative to the two party system. One of the things I worry about with Trump, and it's not necessarily Trump personally, but it's the Republican Party. I have less affection and trust in the Republican Party. I have let's put it this way. I have the same amount of disdain and disgust with the Republican Party as I do the Democrat Party. So I think Bobby's choice is unfortunate, but I think it helps Trump.
Yeah, it's certainly looking that way. I mean, from what I'm seeing, most conservatives or center right or independents even are yeah. saying something similar. You know, like we recognize yeah. sort of the, you know, 3 or 4D aspect here. Timothy was, you know, schooling me on that one yesterday, and I take that point very well. But I just have a hard stop when it comes to billionaire philanthropist technocrats.
From Silicon Valley.
Hard stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. From Silicon Valley. No thanks. Going to the Burning Man type. No thanks. I don't need the billionaire Burning Man type running around.
More than that, you've got to remember your vice president. No, let's talk about a couple of things. More than that.
We got 1 minute, Joe. We got 1 minute. So take us out with your final comments here.
Vice presidential choice is one step away from being president. And she is a really bad choice. But I'm going to wait for Trump. Who's Trump going to choose? Is Trump going to choose some rhino because he has to have that support from that wing of the party? I think he's going to be forced into it.
All right. Hey, Joe, we appreciate you joining us here at State of the Nation, and we'll look forward to having you back on again. Always appreciate your perspective. Stay tuned. We got more State of the Nation coming up after top of the hour headlines with today's News Talk TNT.